You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Here are your hosts, Wally, Ray, and Will.
Happy New Year. You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Got me, Will, Wally, and of course, Ray is not here.
What's good with y'all, man? What's good with you, Will T?
Nothing much, man. How you feeling, my brother?
I'm good, man. I'm blessed, man. We're here. It's 2019. Here to talk sports. Talk skins, you know what I mean? Bad season, hard season. Hard season for the skins.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but anyway, man, 7-9, fire Bruce Allen, hashtags all around the DMV. And he still got a job. Folks are pissed. I'm a little annoyed. I thought he would be gone, but it is what it is.
I told you, man, he is not leaving until he gets the best package for Daniel Snyder to build his stadium in either D.C., Maryland, or Virginia. Most likely Virginia.
VA?
Yeah.
It can definitely happen.
Loudoun County, baby.
I think it'll be in D.C., though. I think it's D.C.
I mean, D.C. would make the most sense.
Yeah, I think.
But I think that, with that metro line going out towards the silver line going out towards Dulles.
Good point.
And then all of the economic activity with all the building, you know, with all the construction going out in the Ashburn, Loudoun County area. I think that most likely you'll see the team out there. But I could be wrong.
It's up there. It's up there. But hey, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, search All Skins, Everything. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here are our topics. We'll recap the Skins season, their depressing season. Then Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network will join us to talk about the Redskins' offseason moves or lack thereof. Finally, we'll feature our listener segment, That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. But first, the Washington Redskins, they finished the season 7-9. Alex Smith went down for, midseason. They were 6-3, went out for the season with that nasty leg injury, excuse me. Did the season typically end once he went down?
No.
All right. No,
I don't believe so. Mm-hmm. As Ray and myself told you just many, many times, this was a heavily flawed team.
Yes, it was a flawed team. There are a lot of flawed teams in postseason.
Extremely flawed team.
That's true. There's a lot of flawed teams in the postseason.
I'm not going to go into that debate with you.
Go ahead, go continue.
This was a very flawed team. They were dependent upon a 34-year-old running back.
With over 1,000 yards, which I did kind of.
Yeah.
I called that, though, too.
You did. Who had over 1,000 yards. A quarterback that had shown outside of maybe a couple of seasons in Kansas City was Captain Checkdown.
Mm-hmm.
A passionate and volatile leader on the defense who was later cut.
A leader.
He was voted the captain by the players in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
After being here for 2 years,
I like them.
I always said if a guy can come into your locker room and be here for 2 years and you vote him a captain, something's wrong with your locker room.
I don't know. Some people are natural.
No. You had homegrown talent on the defensive side of the ball.
But name an individual on that team that you would deem, other than DJ, homegrown talent, right, as a captain.
Kerrigan.
I mean, Trent was a captain. Trent was a captain. Trent was a captain.
Trent.
But wasn't he
Kerrigan.
Mm-hmm.
I
wouldn't call Kerrigan. I wouldn't call Ryan Kerrigan a captain.
See, this. Why wouldn't you call him a captain?
Your personality.
See, this is the question. See, this is. I'm not gonna say question, but the issue. And I apologize for cutting you off.
You go ahead.
But this is the issue I have with people when it comes to leadership or captain.
Yeah.
People think you have to be raw, loud and boisterous to be a leader.
I totally agree.
You don't. You could be someone who just does it with their play.
I agree.
And provide an example on and off the field and in the locker room.
I'm giving an example. Like, Alex Smith in that locker room was a leader. He was. He wasn't a rah-rah guy. He was a leader. Players attested to that. He was a leader. Another guy that everyone says that potentially could be a leader for that squad is Jonathan Allen. Jonathan Allen barely talks, to be honest with you. He only talks when it's serious. again, a leader. There got Kerrigan isn't that guy. Kerrigan, again, you could be a leader with play. I agree with you. But Kerrigan just isn't that guy. And you could be a leader. I mean, you could be awesome as a play, as a football player and not be a leader. Am I correct? So that's just because true. You play well doesn't make you a leader.
That's absolutely
so
true.
So I'm just saying, like, when you look at Ryan Kerrigan, I don't look at him, not because he's a rah-rah guy, because, again, Jonathan Allen to me was a leader, but he wasn't a rah-rah guy. Jonathan Allen just did his job. You know what I mean? So that thing, I feel like leadership is an or. It's something that you see. Like, you see it, you're like, okay, yeah, that dude's a leader. It's not like you could talk and be the loudest dude in the world, like a DJ Swearinger. But there's things you do, like, there are things you could lead verbally. But are you leading the right way? You know what I mean? Like, I like John Wall. Let me just let you John Wall example. John Wall is very boisterous. John Wall ain't a good leader. And I love John Wall. I don't like, you know, he'll take himself out of the equation. He'll say, like, I'm leading my guys. If a leader, to be honest, which in a team aspect, on a team aspect, incorporates himself within the bunch, in my opinion.
Yes.
So, right. So I'm just saying, like, you could be the biggest, baddest dude with your mouth skills. Pause. That ain't sound right.
Really didn't sound right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let you live.
Yeah, it didn't sound right. But that doesn't make you a big leader.
I understand what you're trying to say.
But I know what you're saying, though. Like, yeah, when you have somebody like DJ Swearinger, because he was boisterous that he's like a captain, then, you know, it's not a good thing for the locker room. I agree with you on this point. Having a guy like DJ Swearinger as a leader wasn't a good thing. You would want somebody who, one, understands the dynamics of a team and of an organization and how to keep things in-house. That type of person, and still be boisterous. You can be boisterous. I'm not saying you can't. That, to me, would encompass a real leader.
Okay. I mean, some would say that you could potentially beat people. It could be filmed, or you could be accused of beating women, and you can maintain a job.
Who's that?
But if you speak out against the coaching staff,
who beat a woman on video?
I said you could beat someone on video and or.
Oh, you're talking about dude.
Someone,
oh, you're talking about, oh, you're talking about Monte Nicholson.
Yes. And man, maintain the job.
Dude, you don't think that ever in life that DJ Swearinger ain't put his hands on somebody?
I'm not saying he hasn't.
I don't think beating somebody up does not vilify you of being a, just because
I'm
of
not,
video.
I'm not vilifying
okay,
anyone.
Okay, I'm about to
I'm
say.
I'm just saying that
look,
I come out and speak against the coaching staff twice.
Yeah.
You get rid of me.
But dog, like in terms of football culture, in football, right? This team, we're talking about the team. You're under again.
Football, I understand what you're trying. I know what you're trying. Football culture is a militaristic culture where you have to fall in line and follow orders.
Exactly.
It's everyone is vanilla, plain Jane, and you have to follow to T and you follow the commander's orders.
Dexter Manley was doing dirt. There's a lot of people outside of Lawrence Taylor's a prime example, was doing dirt outside of football. You're not gonna hold on a football field. Lawrence Taylor would fall in line with Bill Parcells. You dig what I'm saying? Like, so at the end of the, like, I don't get outside of football.
Not all the time, but
he would fall in line with Bill Parcells most of the time, right? Mm. Talent always dictates everything too. Let's not get it twisted.
Okay.
But when you look at like DJ, like this is my thing with DJ. I blame the coach staff for DJ. If this makes any sense. I blame the coach staff for DJ. If you had an issue with DJ, you should nip that crap in the butt early. Like, and what I mean by that is that when DJ said it mouthed off the first time, you benched DJ, but you didn't bench him. So now DJ feels like he can say whatever and you ain't going to do nothing about it. Like, this coaching staff didn't do anything to reprimand DJ at all. So I wouldn't have cut DJ. Someone put that out there. I wouldn't have cut DJ. But I understood cutting DJ because it got to a point. But I put it on, like, again, that's the coaching staff's fault because you enabled it. You let it get this far. You know what I mean? And you did a cop out by cutting him. Truth be told, what DJ was saying, truth or wrong, was your fault because you could have stopped that crap if you said, hey, DJ, you on the bench this week. I guarantee DJ doesn't talk like that again.
I mean, that's fair.
You know what I mean? This whole season for the Skins has been up and down. It's a lot they have to fix. A lot they have to get situated.
Well, that's what I was telling you when they were 6-3. There's a lot of things that are flawed. There's a lot of flaws on that roster.
I'm different from you and Ray. Like 6-3, it was Alex Smith. Alex Smith has always been a dude, regardless of he's always had flaws on other teams, but for some strange reason, his teams have always been able to be over 500. Like Alex Smith was undefeated against the NFC at the time. He was NFC East at the time. He was undefeated against the NFC East at the time. After Alex Smith, they lost every game against the NFC East. I'm just saying Alex Smith on this team, regardless of the gaudy numbers, because you have gaudy numbers and still not win. Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith wins games. You know what I mean? I'm not saying they were going to the Super Bowl after 6-3. But I'm saying they would have won games with Alex Smith.
I'm sure if you rewind the tape.
That's a Super Bowl? Probably did. That sounds like me.
If you rewind the tape, I think I distinctively remember
Super Bowl?
You saying,
I said Super Bowl? It sounds like
playoff.
Me.
Playoffs at I'm, the
look,
very
look,
least.
Playoffs is look, I'm confident they were making the playoffs with Alex Smith. They were gonna beat the Giants. I know that with Alex Smith. They could beat the Giants with Alex Smith.
Okay, if you say so.
You know what I mean? Like they got demolished by the Giants with Sanchez and
Josh
Johnson as the quarterbacks. Yeah. And Josh Johnson was better than Sanchez, and that dude barely played football. You know what I mean? Like that's a problem. That's a serious problem. All right, the fans want change. They want Bruce out. We talked about that a little bit. They even have a hashtag called Fire Bruce Allen. I mean, I know you're not a Washington football fan, but if you were a fan of the Washington football team, what does this organization need to do to be a contender next season?
I'm going to break it down. It starts at the very, very top.
You
have an owner who doesn't feel, and I get it. You know, you own the team. You feel as if it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't responsible to anyone. But the reality is, as the owner, you do own the team, but you are the steward of that team for the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently year after year, this team has a terrible record, or you know, under his leadership,
yeah, they haven't been good. They've been one of the poor franchises in the NFL.
And he's refused to come out here and address the fan base.
I know he's so tacky. It is
for better or worse. No matter what you can say about Jerry Jones,
this is
Jerry
true.
Jones is front and center. If things go good, he says it's me.
Uh-huh.
If things go better. If things go bad, he says, we need to get better as an organization.
Yeah.
He doesn't totally place it upon himself.
Oh, I agree.
Sometimes. But, you know, I think
Jerry Jones is a better owner. We can.
Yeah, I think you're starting to see. I mean, towards the end of the season, I don't know. We haven't reconvened to talk about this a lot. Uh-huh. But towards the end of the season, I would catch some of the games, glimpses of the game.
Yeah.
The stadium looked pretty. It didn't look as full as it usually would.
No, it wasn't.
And I
got word of that.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
And I think that's you're starting to see a revolt by the fan base.
It's coming little by little.
You're starting to see fans say, hey, you're giving me piss poor quality on the field. You're staying with the same upper management that has produced absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Snyder, as an owner, as a leader of this organization, don't hold yourself accountable to the fan base. We're not going to come. And I think once the dollars stop coming in, that's when you'll see the change. But you won't see that change until Bruce Allen is able to negotiate a sweet stadium deal for him from either D.C., Maryland, or Virginia.
That's the only reason why he still has a job, in my opinion. But, you know, Bruce is going to stay. I mean, that's already been reported. Bruce Allen is going to stay, and we talked about it. He has more power within non football, like non roster activities. He's going to do things on the business side as well. So this is my thing. I made a wish list of how the Skins could fix, you know, their situation, even with Bruce Allen. Number one, bring Greg Williams back.
That's not happening. He's going to the Jets.
No, you hear reports now. Look, it's not a done deal. It's not a done deal.
Come
reports.
On, stop.
No, real talk. No,
I understand.
It's reports.
I understand that.
It's the truth.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Greg Williams was once employed here, correct?
Yes.
Greg Williams had it in his contract that he would be the next coach of this team when Joe Gibbs retired, correct?
Yeah.
Joe Gibbs retired.
He didn't get the job. Yeah, him and Dan had it.
So what's still consistent about this franchise then that's still here now?
Dan Snyder.
Why the hell would I come back to a man who reneged on his word for me?
I'm going to tell you.
I don't know Greg Williams for a fact, but Greg Williams looks like a man and carries himself like a man who has a strong principle and moral base.
No, he does. So
why the hell would I come back to work for this organization?
So I'm going to tell you. The reports are, reports are they squashed it out. And they're actually on good terms. This is a report. This is the only reason why he's even interested. He does have an interest due to reports at the Skins job. So it has whatever happened, it's been, I won't say squash 110%, but it's been to a point where they're now, he can now think of himself coming back to this organization. That's it's out there. The report is out there. It's by JP Finley from Comcast Sportsnet. So it's out there.
I mean, JP NBC's Finley is willing to stick by that, but I'm just, me personally, just being a passive observer of this. Why the hell would I come back and work for this man, work for this organization now?
If you read it,
hold on. Right. And then also work for a coach that, quite frankly, I showed in 8 games that I can outcoach you than you did in 4 years.
But so this is this actually helps my point. What is trendy in the NFL right now of head coaches?
Offensive.
And a younger guy, right?
Younger offensive.
Okay, so what is the good situation for a guy like Greg Williams what's a good situation for a guy like Greg Williams?
To go to a
lame duck situation.
A lame duck situation so he can come back and be the head
coach. There you go.
that's too much for me.
I'm just telling you.
But then also you have to look at the downside of it, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Let's say Jay Gruden is a lame duck head coach. Fire Jay Gruden. He takes over. Williams takes over.
Greg Williams is now signed with the Jets. Someone just tweeted me that.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, and I told you that. I was trying to save you, bro. Won't you allow me to produce you? Allow me to save you.
What did I just tell you earlier? I argue when even I'm wrong. I just said this.
Allow me to help you help yourself, brother.
Hey, thanks, Todd. I appreciate that. Okay, so I'm gonna skip to my next one. If I can't get Greg, bring back DeSean Jackson. I need DeSean Jackson. Bring back DeSean Jackson. He's gonna he wants out of Tampa. He said he wants to come back to DC.
Bruce Arians already said that he wants DeSean Jackson.
I'm just saying. I said bring back DeSean. That's on the wish list.
Well, no. If I'm looking at it, if I'm DeSean Jackson, why would I come back?
He said he wants to come back.
But he's
verbally
with the coaching change that you've made with Bruce Arians. What does Bruce Arians to do?
No, he likes to throw the ball out. Down. I'm with you on that. Like Bruce Arians is a good fit, but if they're done with DeSean, I'm just saying if they're done with DeSean, bring him back to DC. Third, sign Teddy Bridgewater.
I can respect that.
All right, sign Teddy Bridgewater. You know, because Alex, it doesn't like Alex will probably come back to mid part of the season or not won't come back at all. Or consider if Jay is so fixated on getting Colt McCoy as a quarterback, also get Geno Smith and make him another backup.
Because Geno Smith
is a backup. I don't need. Look, what happened this season? The Skins lost how many quarterbacks? Josh Johnson. So it's 3 quarterbacks. You'll have Geno, Colt, Teddy. But I would if Teddy can't come here and you're making Colt the quarterback, you definitely get give me Geno as his backup and you can keep Josh Johnson.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm just as a backup.
Keep going with your list.
All right. Then I would re-sign HaHa Clinton Dix because I feel like it's unfair for a guy to come to trade for him in the middle part of the season and expect him to be a baller as a safety. This dude ain't A. Reed. What do you want from him?
Okay.
All right. Then re-sign. And also, make sure you keep my man Monte Nicholson, even though he stole somebody. Okay. You know, keep him under contract. Draft a guard in the first round because they need guard help. Right. I'm working to fix the whole situation, and it moved to a 4-3.
Okay. Well, there's one suggestion that you omitted that I think was a very loud.
My man said I can get behind signing Teddy Bridgewater.
Was a very loud request by the fan base, and that's get rid of Greg Minuski.
Oh, that was the Greg Williams thing. I thought it was all tied together.
Okay, all right.
Look, I lost.
Oh
Greg.
Well, no, that's what I was saying. You lost, and I was gonna say you lost Greg, but you lost Greg Williams, but Greg Minuski's still here.
Look, man, there's a guy on ESPN,
Rex Ryan.
Oh yeah.
Would he want to work for Jay Gruden
again? Lame duck. if I'm Daniel Snyder, I'm preaching the lame duck mentality. This dude fails, it's your job. And if you do well, you're getting another job somewhere else.
I think Rex Ryan's got a pretty, he gets to do what he wants to do, one of the things he does best, which is talk.
He does talk a lot of crap. Yes. I'm saying lame duck mentality, man. It looks like the Redskins aren't making any big moves. Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network will join us to discuss this. You're listening to All Skins Everything for Aegis. Ya dig? Deuces. You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Your hosts are Will and Wally Raised Out. Right now, we have Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network on the line. What's up, Lex?
Hey, what's going on? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my man. Happy 2019. All right, so Lex, you know, I was in Nigeria, and that's why we didn't have a show in a minute. And I missed a lot of skin stuff. Before I get into the off-season stuff, like, you know, stuff like coaches being let go and not bringing in another defensive coordinator, we'll get into that later. What happened, like, with this team after, let's say, Alex went down and Colt went down?
I'm going to be honest with you, man. You know, before they went down, the Redskins were kind of teeter-tottering around.
Yeah.
Now, nobody will probably admit this, but they were 6-3, I think, when Alex was down. But those losses were against Indianapolis, a playoff team, who really looked, I mean, dominated the Redskins, if you remember, at home.
Yeah.
The New Orleans Saints embarrassed us on Monday Night Football, if you remember that.
Yeah, I do. I definitely remember that one. That was a Monday night game. Terrible.
Yeah, and then we got mashed by the Atlanta Falcons.
Uh-huh.
If you remember that, our losses were bad losses.
Yeah, our bad losses. You ain't lying. They were horrible losses. I think you're being real nice, too.
And we were at full strength, you know, to a certain degree. Now,
yeah,
we didn't have
true.
Chris Thompson at times, but we did have Alex Smith, and we had our offensive line intact.
Yeah.
During those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a part
mm-hmm.
of those massacres.
Mm-hmm.
I think the writing was on the wall for the season then. And they were already teeter-tottering, man. And I tell you, when Alex went down, it just seems like everybody just kind of just laid there and said, okay, well, Alex is down, we're dead, we're done. The mm-hmm. season is over.
It seemed like it.
And we was already struggling headed into that game. We were struggling already.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm still kind of lost with words, how when you look at the NFL and you look at the coaches that got let go and released, fired, dismissed, I'm just curious what are the people upstairs looking at to determine whether people keep jobs in the organization.
Word.
And I'm not saying anybody should get fired or anything like that.
I know you're not.
But just based off of, you know, watching the other teams in the league
mm-hmm.
and the reasons why they cut their coaches and, you know, general managers, et cetera, and why, for whatever reason, this organization decided to look the other way
mm-hmm.
and allow, for right now at least, to allow everybody to stay intact. It's kind of interesting. Some might be amused by it, and some might be really
pissed off at it. Yeah, I know, right? I will say this. It seems that, I mean, from what I've heard, the excuse is the injuries. That's what people want to, you know, lean on. I mean, injuries, you used to use the injury thing for so long because other organizations, they deal with injuries, and they didn't play this bad down the stretch. I think a lot of times, you know, people don't give Alex enough credit in terms of, you know, the team being 6-3. You're right, though. This team got embarrassed by certain teams. But I think that if Alex was a quarterback, for instance, I remember being in Nigeria and then getting the updates that the Skins were getting beat by like 40 after the first half to the Giants. I'm like, what? At home to the Giants? You know what I mean? I get, you know, getting beat by the Saints, but to the Giants, a team that was struggling. And then Saquon running free, it was like, for me, I'm thinking like Alex doesn't lose to that type of team. You know, even like we look at Tampa, Like when a lot of us thought that the Skins would lose to Tampa in Tampa, you know, the team had a good offense. There's no way the Skins would beat that Tampa Bay Bucks team. They did beat them. I just feel like Alex brings a intangible of winning that, you know, the other quarterbacks they had at the helm did not.
Yeah, I think at times, I think Alex, what he brought to the table was he was a quarterback that was a veteran that didn't take a lot of chance. He was really a guy who wasn't going to turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't going to get spectacular plays. I mean, historically, you think about Alex Smith in Kansas City, he didn't really throw to his receivers, so he didn't really have a lot of dynamic plays where he was going up top.
Yeah.
You know, he did a lot of screens, a lot of in rounds.
I mean, threw deep to Tyreek Hill, but, you know, the Skins don't have anybody like a Tyreek Hill on this roster. So, I know, I agree. I'm with you.
Yeah, so it was more yards after catch type plays for Alex Smith when he was in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a tight end that he kind of favored.
Yeah.
Went to a tight spot, and they had a solid running game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here in Washington, you know, at 6-3, it looked like we were headed in the right direction. But if you really analyze those wins,
mm-hmm.
you know, those wins were we barely won some of those games.
Yeah, we beat
like
Cam.
The Carolina, the Cowboy game.
Yeah,
they could have gone up. They could have went the other way.
Very good point. Very good point. Very good point. But you could say that Alex brings that intangible. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Like, I feel like when you look at these other, you know, these the quarterbacks that we saw, you know what I mean? Like, for instance, that Tennessee game, you know, when Josh Johnson throws that interception. Like, that's a game that I think you need a guy like an Alex Smith, you know what I mean? But, again, this team, there's a lot this team needs to do, you know, to be improved. We saw, you know, DJ Swearinger, who was eventually cut because he was mouthing off. You know, talk about defensive coordinator. There's got, you know, and Minuski, him, you know, having issues with Minuski. And you hear reports now in the offseason, reports that Torian Gray, the DB coach, who's done a lot of, you know, have done a lot of good for a lot of DBs on young DBs on this team. You're looking at a guy like Fabian Monroe, a guy that he helped out after we saw his rookie year in Kendall Fuller, who now plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, how he struggled as we're getting with Torian Gray the following year. He ends up looking like a all-pro caliber cornerback. So what is going on with this team in the offseason? You know what I mean? You know, we're hearing about Bruce Allen keeping this gig, getting more power. Torian Gray possibly let go. Reports that Tom Sula, who's doing good work with the defensive line, could be let go. I mean, what's good, man? What's going on?
Hey, listen, I am happy that it's the off season because, you know, you get to watch the better teams play.
Here you go. It's my man Lex.
You know, each week. And, you know, when I look at Dallas losing,
that made me
Dallas
feel good.
Dallas fans getting excited about possibly going to the Super Bowl in their minds. They put that in their seat in their
God.
Head.
Delusional.
They weren't going to the Super Bowl.
Delusional, man. Delusional.
They were flawed. The whole season, they were flawed.
So flawed, bruh. Go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry.
And the Eagles, you know, you could tell when they lost their defensive line that was the end because that was the strength of the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Redskins offensive line, when we lost Brandon Sheriff.
Oh, that was it. Agreed.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I totally agree with you.
So, you know, just watching the Patriots in Kansas City and New Orleans.
And the Rams.
And watching these teams, man, it kind of makes you wonder what's going on with the Washington Redskins as an organization. Because we're far away from being Kansas City, New Orleans, New England, or the Rams. We're far away from those teams.
Yeah.
It looked like at times we might compete with them, but no, we're really far away from those teams.
Yeah, I agree. We are far away. When you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, the Rams, the Patriots. Not, I'm only put the Patriots because they have a brand of football that's totally different. But when you look at the Saints, like, they do whatever it. Those organizations do whatever it takes to win games. And I was telling Will this, that when you look at like McVay. Like a lot of people use like Sean McVay as an example. Like, oh my God, like he's so, you know, he's such a great coach. The Redskins let him go. To be honest with you, if Sean McVay was on this team, like they chose Sean McVay in the way the front office works, Sean McVay wouldn't be the Sean McVay we see in with the Rams, because the Rams, what the Rams do compared to what the Skins do, the Rams are they give them their front office, they're giving Sean McVay players. For instance, when Sean McVay got there initially, they made a trade for Sammy Watkins Jr. because they know they needed more speed. Like that's a high quality receiver as your 2-3, as your 1, 2, or 3 when you already have a Cooper Kupp and you have Woods and then you got Gurley. And then this season, they didn't like just rest on, okay, we got to the playoffs last season, we won the division, we got to the playoffs last season. No, oh no, 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 no. Let's do it even better. Let's bring in a Dominic Sue. Let's get an Aaron Donald. I mean, not Aaron Donald, but Dominic Sue. Let's get a Talib. Let's get a Marcus Peters. They freaking try to get Odell Beckham too. They try to win. They brought in a culture that is trying to win now. This Skins team, like, they're not doing whatever it takes to win. Like, the coach may be a problem, too. I'm not saying he's not. But they're not even trying to put in players for this team to be ultra competitive, being true contenders. We talked about this before. They need a number one wide receiver. Regardless of what the secret weapon we talk about, we all know that he's not a dominant wide receiver. He's too young to be a dominant wide receiver. He's not that type of dude. But you didn't bring somebody in. We talk about bringing a Dez Bryant. They didn't bring a Dez Bryant in. The Rams were doing whatever it took to win. Look at the Saints. The Saints brought in Dez Bryant because they're about winning that championship. The Skins ain't about that life. That front office isn't about that life.
Yeah, and it's sad because, you know, we're in the off season. Last off season, mm-hmm. we had an issue with the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Because we knew Kurt, you know, that it was wrecking day. It was either you signing Kurt or you were letting Kurt go. Yeah. And I think we all knew Kurt was leaving.
Yeah, made the right decision on that one.
Who was going to be our quarterback? Well, they traded a youthful quarterback you know what I mean? For Alex Smith.
Yeah.
They looked at Alex Smith, what, in week, was that week 9?
Yeah.
They lose Alex Smith week 9, week 10.
They lose out, you're
and
right.
That, Alex Smith is done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now it's like he's done for this season. He didn't finish this season. Yeah. Now he's not going to be ready for the start of next
season. And may not even play next season. May not even play next season. There's a chance he may not play.
And then, on top of that, he's affecting your cap space.
Agreed. Good, very good point. And
so now your options are limited. Mm-hmm. You know, so you look at the quarterback landscape. So, you have to start there.
Yeah.
You have to have a quarterback. So are you coming back with Cope, who, by the way, got hurt? Are you coming back with him as your quarterback?
Hope not.
Or are you picking up Joe Flacco? Are you going to pick up Tyrod Taylor?
No.
Do you revisit the RG3? Do you think?
You know what?
Go after RG3?
That's not it's funny because that's not it won't happen. That won't happen because of, you know, because Jay's a coach. But it's a guy, I think Teddy would be a good pick. I think Teddy Bridgewater would be somebody they can definitely bring in. Joe Flacco isn't a guy I don't know his cap number, maybe a little bit too big because you said they do have Alex on the roster. I mean, Alex on the roster, and that contract does hit hard. So I just think that Flacco may demand a little bit more money compared to a Teddy Bridgewater. I wouldn't mind having Griffin back. Especially how today's NBA works. I mean, NBA. Today's NFL is where, you know, we're seeing more college style offenses anyway. I think Griffin, if Jay Gruden can conform, because again, it's all about Jay Gruden being more innovative. Jay Gruden to me hasn't shown any innovation as a play caller at this moment. So that's a whole thing. That's why I don't know if Griffin would actually work. Now, they brought in somebody else, say, like, a DeFilippo, DeFilippo, a guy that used to be the quarterback coach in Philadelphia, who was Kurt's offensive coordinator before the Vikings fired him because, you know, Kurt didn't really perform. They had to blame somebody. I think that's a guy that would fit this new age type of offense. But again, it's all on Jay. And I don't know if getting a guy like a Griffin would fit a Jay Gruden style. That's why the whole Murray out of Oklahoma, I'm like, I don't know if Jay can coach him up. That's not a guy I think Jay can really coach up.
And I don't think Jay Gruden is going to take that chance.
Yeah.
With his coaching job possibly in jeopardy,
mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to take that chance with a rookie quarterback.
Agreed.
To be his general, or, you know, his field general.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about Eli Manning might be available.
Yeah, I think that's a guy. Maybe I can see. I can see Jay going for Eli, man. I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Who else you got? The Redskins could possibly trade for Tampa's quarterback, Jameis Winston.
Oh, I think Jameis staying over there, though. He's staying. I would love Jameis, though.
The Dolphins might be available.
Oh, Tannehill. Yeah, Tannehill's available. I think Tannehill will definitely be in play. I think he's in play. Again, I don't know how much Jay like, but see, Tannehill to me is more like he's more of a spread-oriented quarterback. I don't know. It's just interesting because Tannehill to me is like more of a spread-oriented quarterback too on a low. But there's only a couple. I like Eli because I think that's definitely a Jay Gruden type of dude. I wouldn't be surprised. Well, again, he would probably be more expensive. Like trying to get Andy Dalton out of Cincy. For some strange reason, I think that's a play that Jay would do because he used to coach him.
Right. I think Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
Even the quarterback, excuse me, that backed up Andy Dalton.
Yeah, actually. Oh, that's a good one. Who went to it's the Raiders? He's with. Yeah, I know you're talking about. Shoot. He played with Alabama. McCarron. AJ McCarron.
Yep, McCarron.
Yeah, that's perfect. Actually, that is perfect. That is perfect. I think AJ McCarron would be perfect. I think he would take AJ McCarron in a second. Actually, Lex, that's a good idea. I think he would take him in a second. And I wouldn't be mad at AJ. I like AJ McCarron a little bit. I wouldn't be mad at that one either. AJ McCarron has some type of skill, and what is he, Lex? What is he to? He's a Bama boy.
He went to Alabama.
Exactly.
Another Alabama guy.
Exactly.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that made sense financially for Washington.
It does.
But that's what they have to start on the offseason. And then after that, you know, they got to go heavy on the offensive line.
You know what, Lex?
Heavy offensive line.
You do. I would draft the offensive lineman in the first round. I would draft the guard in the first round. I think the 15th pick should be a guard.
I would draft a tackle, a guard, the first two rounds. And they have a lot of draft picks.
So who would you replace? You replace Morgan Moses? You wouldn't start Morgan Moses anymore?
Well, Trent Williams hasn't finished the entire season.
I know. That's what the kid's for. Christian's supposed to be for, you know, he's supposed to be that guy, but he's a little light. In the arse, you know what I mean.
But I'm drafting the best available.
Me too. I'm saying like I think they should get a guard. I think all this play with what's his face, the guard I'm having a moment. The left guard who's always hurt.
Sheriff.
Huh? Not Sheriff. The other one. Sheriff is the right guard. The other one. Oh God. Sean LaVal. Thank you, Sean LaVal. Sorry. Sean LaVal, okay. Like this whole Sean LaVal starting thing needs to stop. So, I mean, he was the best guard for the team. I think Cooper was pretty good. I think I like Cooper when the limited games we got to see him. But I think they need to start getting a young elite guard because they got Sheriff with the fifth pick overall. You see how great he is. If you can add another guy to that caliber, 15, you don't get guards. Usually try to get guards in the second round, but if you get a guy that good, like a Brandon Sheriff in the fit with the 15th pick, you got to take him. Because at least you know, like in the inside, like you can do some damage with either, if it's either going to be Adrian Peterson next year or Geis. Like you could do some damage.
Yeah. And they have to get that offensive line right. And I agree.
If they can't
get the best offensive lineman in the first round, then they need to get the best linebacker that's available.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Whoever's a playmaking linebacker, I mean, even if you got to move up in the draft to get the best playmaking linebacker,
mm-hmm.
I'm making that play because if Reuben Foster can play next season, I mean, you're going to have a guy like Reuben Foster and draft
a young
linebacker.
Look, man,
go with the Apple boys.
Go ahead.
I'm like in my front seven at that point.
Dude, I'm telling you this, though. And I said this is when I was – the Reuben Foster will play as a Washington Redskins next year. You heard it here first. You heard it from me. He will play next season. I'm not sure of how many – I'm not sure how many games he'll get suspended, but he will play. And, like, when you see Reuben Foster – this is my dream. This is my goal. My dream is this team moves to a 4-3, right? And they move to a 4-3. I want to see Reuben Foster, Sean Deion Hamilton. That's another that other Alabama kid. And whoever, if they want to, they can keep Zach Brown. That'd be great. If they don't, give me another, you know, whatever, another outside linebacker. But I want them because this kid's because the safety situation now is in doubt for the Skins. Landon Collins is out there. He a free agent. I want Landon Collins. Bring that Bama boy here too. And if you want to re-sign Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, I have no issue with re-signing Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. I'm in a minority with that, though. I know that because I just feel like it's unfair to put it all on the safety to learn a whole new scheme and learn chemistry in the mid part of the season. Give him a whole camp. You know what I'm saying? Give him a whole camp. Get him acclimated with the players, and then let's see what he really is about. Because we saw on another team that this dude was an all-star caliber player. Pro Bowl caliber player, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm still salty about DJ Swearinger.
You all situation. Like that bothers you? DJ bothers you? You know what? I don't blame DJ. You know who I blame though? I blame the coaching staff for that one. What I mean by that, I think that like my issue with the Skins is they should have reprimanded DJ Swearinger way before. Like what I mean by reprimanded, they should have. Told like it should have been like, hey DJ, you talk, you getting benched. They never did that before. You know what I'm saying? Like I right. felt like if they had did that initially, DJ would have chilled out a little bit, and he wouldn't. This would never escalate to where it's at right now. They never said DJ, you bench, because you know what? Like as much you talked about the Patriots, right? The Patriots earlier. Like if you talk crap about Bill Belichick and his unit. You ain't playing. You dig what I'm saying? Like, you ain't playing.
Yeah.
And that could be anybody. That could be anybody. Like, you know what I'm saying? But the Skins, they let DJ say whatever, and he just felt like he could say whatever. And so now they mad that he said it, and they cut him. I was like, you cut DJ. You cutting DJ is not DJ's fault. That's your fault, because you should have nipped that crap in the bud earlier.
And he was the heart and soul of the defense.
Yeah.
And that was the part that, you know, for me, it was like you really, at the end of the season, you didn't give yourself a chance to win because you let your best defensive player go.
Agreed. No, I agree.
Just dropped them off on the curb on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had no chance against the Eagles.
Yeah, they didn't.
And the Eagles celebrated in FedEx. They celebrated in the locker room. Parties in the locker room.
Look, man, this team quit. I mean, I won't say quit, but they just didn't, you know. Well, yeah, they quit. I can say it. They quit. I felt like they quit. I mean, I felt like certain defensive players, certain players didn't quit. Like, I love Jonathan Allen. I love what he's about. But there's certain players who quit. And to be honest with you, I felt like the coaching staff quit. I don't even want to say the players quit. I feel like the coaching staff quit. I really felt like the coaching staff quit.
I think there was some... I think you may be onto something, because when they lost the second quarterback and they had to go to Sanchez, and when Sanchez showed them that he wasn't the guy,
yeah.
And they kind of went with Johnson just kind of really on the humbug, I think at that point they kind of showed you, like, we really don't have a game plan. We don't really know what to do in this situation.
It's like, I'm with you. Like, they quit to me when they were trying to sell us that Sanchez could be a starter.
Yeah.
Like, that's when I knew they quit. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's other, like, we all, like, the whole cap stuff. Like, yeah, cap, I don't care if Sanchez has been more involved with that type of style, because he's the coaches knew Sanchez because he used to coach him up and with the Jets. That don't mean crap to me. Better is better. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, like, for instance... Say I got James. I have James Harden, right? Like, I have James Harden on my team. Like, I have James Harden on my team. Not on my team. I have James Harden as a free agent. That's a good example. I have James Harden as a free agent. That's impossible, but James Harden's a free agent. And say I'm going to use an example of Michael Beasley. I like Michael Beasley. I like his game, but I'm going to use Michael Beasley, right? Michael Beasley. say I coached Michael Beasley at AAU, right? I coached him at AAU, and the dude is like, you know, and he was good in AAU, but you know, I'm familiar with Michael Beasley. I know that James Harden. James Harden is still a 30 plus scorer, easily, and he's a 10 plus assist man. I'm picking James. I don't care if I don't know James Harden from anything. I'm taking James Harden. He's the better player. So the same thing applies with Cap. Cap's a way better player than Sanchez. I don't care what he knows schematically. He's better than Sanchez. So you pick up Kaepernick because you're trying to make the playoffs. Like, you're trying to make the playoffs. So if you're trying to win, you pick the better player. You pick the best player. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
So if you don't do that, you quit to me.
That's true. Okay. It's a lot, I think, going in the off season right now. It's a lot of unanswered questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got so many positions, like you said, you have so many injuries. So you got so many positions that guys are going to be rehabbing. And then you got positions where guys underachieved. Mm-hmm. And now you got to evaluate, you know, like the receivers. Like you don't, like you said, we don't have any number one receivers. So now you got to evaluate all of the receivers. You got to evaluate, you know, you got to evaluate your offensive line. Like, do you have offensive linemen? Mm-hmm. I'm starting five. No, two tackles, two guards in the center. Like, do you have that? And then you know you're good at the running back position because you got guys coming back,
yeah.
And you're assuming that he's going to be, you know, at least 85%, you know, at the level that he was at before.
Uh-huh.
And you still have Chris Thompson who's coming back, and you know what you're getting from Chris Thompson. If you want to sign AP, you can.
Yeah.
I think you're going to get quality carries out of AP.
Yeah, if you can get him back.
To next season with those three guys, I think you're fine.
Yeah.
I think tight end-wise, I think you're fine with Vernon, Reed, and Sprinkle. I'm fine with those guys.
Yeah.
I'm fine with my defensive line. I could add another guy, but I'm fine with my defensive line. But my linebacker and my cornerback, my secondary, question mark, and my receivers are question mark, and my quarterback position is a question mark. So if you're looking at right now, the Redskins are, we're 4-12 team right now. Just looking at it from that perspective.
You're being fair.
We're 4-12.
Because you need to get a quarterback, too. You're being very fair. Like I said, this in our prior segment. Like, you know, and we've talked about this dude before. Like, yo, like, D-Jax, this is before Arians. Arians may have changed it. But D-Jax said, like, you know, he's interested in coming back to D.C. Like, I'm working the phone to get D-Jax back. Because I know, one, I won't have to give up anything thorough to get a D-Jax. You know what I'm saying? So I'm working the phone to get D-Jax back. Then I'm trying, like you mentioned, safety play. I mentioned Landon Collins. I'm cool with, truth be told, like, Monte was fine, but before they decided to, like, do this whole we trade Monte. Well, I mean, we getting ha-ha Clinton Dix. Like, I'll get a Monte, and then I'll keep Monte and make him I'm keeping the starting unit, and I'll give me a Landon Collins, a guy that I know is a Pro Bowl safety. Like, that's a guy that you can kind of target. There's guys you can target, for this defense to be improved. Like you said, linebacker, I agree with you. Like, having Reuben Foster there is important. It's essential. You get Reuben Foster, you can Sean Deion Hamilton. I think that young kid showed a lot of potential in the limited action he did when he replaced Zach Brown as a starter. But they got to go, to me, they got to go 4-3. I'm done with the 3-4. They got to go 4-3. And if they can keep Zach Brown and make him the other outside linebacker, so that's that three linebacker set, I think I'm cool with that. I think that would serve that whole defensive unit better. But most importantly, Minuski can't be the DC, though. For that to happen, he can't be the DC.
And Mason, he can take Mason with him.
No, yeah. He can take Mason with him. I think we both agree on that one. We can take, like, I said Reuben Foster. I didn't even acknowledge Mason because my mindset is already Mason is gone. That's my mindset. Like, Mason should not be back.
Yeah, he's slow.
He's too slow. Right, he's slow.
To the other linebackers in the league.
Yeah, he's
slow. And when you think about the Colts drafting a linebacker who's all pro.
And he went to a MEAC school?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
We gotta get some home runs in this draft. Yeah. It's just very important for us to get some home runs in this draft coming up.
I'm with you. You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network online. So, Lex, before I let you go, let our listeners know how to catch you on social media and what you getting into in terms of, like, Heritage Sports Radio Network.
Hey, you can follow me on IG, Twitter, Lex Diamonds without the A. Lex Diamonds everything. And, man, we did Georgetown and Howard.
Oh, how was that? You know, I'm a Hoya fan, so, you know.
Hey, listen, the Hoyas are back.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I hope so.
Patrick Ewing has done a tremendous job.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some players over there.
Yeah, he got talent. He got talent, definitely.
Yeah, I hope he can continue to recruit and, you know, maybe get him a five-star point guard, shooting guard. That's the only thing I felt like Georgetown needed. They needed some really bona fide guard.
Yeah.
Guard play is going to be important.
Yeah.
And I think if he can get him a quality guard, I think he'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Georgetown is back, but yeah, CIAA tournament is coming.
Not Baltimore, be more do.
Not happy about that.
Real talk though, why would it? I had this discussion. I was playing basketball with a couple of folks. I'm trying to figure out why it would be in Baltimore, knowing that there's no CIAA team in Bmore. There isn't, right?
No, Bowie State is close. Yeah,
exactly. So why wouldn't it be I'm trying to figure out like the PG. I don't know. Like I'm trying to figure out why wouldn't it be around. Like why wouldn't it be at Bowie State? Like their gym. I'm trying to figure out. It's not big enough.
Well, of course Bowie State's not big enough.
Yeah,
let me give my school some love though. Congratulations to Bowie State because they're going to be the host school for the CIAA in 2020.
Yeah. Definitely.
So I'm happy for them. But in Baltimore, I'm not happy about that. It's great for the city of Baltimore, but not necessarily great, I think, for the brand itself, for the CIAA.
Yeah.
But they got the arena for free. And when you get an arena for free, that saves
that checkout. Okay, that's
why. Checkmate right there for you. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. I hear you, bro. No, I hear you. I was thinking more like, I actually thought like, if it wasn't, like, how come they just couldn't do it? They won the city mentality. How come they just couldn't do it at Capital One? You know what I'm saying?
I think Capital One was probably in play.
Okay. Because I think that would have been
better.
Or even a DC Go-Go spot. Like, that would have been all right.
Again, they probably didn't know about the new arena in DC.
Okay.
That's an option.
Yeah.
But that would have been a nice spot for it. But DC in a whole, DC's expensive.
Yeah, oh, I know.
And you got to deal with the traffic. You know what I mean? So I think from that perspective, I think Baltimore is a better move because traffic is not as bad in Baltimore as it is in DC.
Yeah.
But, you know, in Baltimore, you got baseball season approaching
at that
during
time?
That time.
Oh, it's okay.
And then, you know, spring training.
Yeah.
And then you just got Baltimore itself. Some people love Baltimore, some don't. So, you know, hopefully this will be a good opportunity for Baltimore to kind of bring a bright light to its city and maybe it'll help the community out. We'll see.
I like Bmore, man. I'm a fan. I like Bmore. I was just thinking like, why would Bmore have it if, again, it's the CIAA. There's no CIAA team that's, you know, around that side. There's no CIAA team around that time, that side of town. So,
Well, Morgan State used to be in the CIAA. They were one of the original members of the CIAA conference when Morgan State, Morgan State was in there. They're from Baltimore. So, you know, they do have fans in the northeast part of the country. And I think by being in the north, for a change, because it's been in the South. It's been in the South forever.
Mm-hmm.
Before it was in Charlotte, it was in Raleigh. And before Raleigh, it was in Winston-Salem. So it's been in the South quite some time. And now it's up north. So now New York fans and Philly fans and D.C. and Baltimore fans and New Jersey, all of those folks can now come to CIAA. And, you know, just hopefully the North Carolina family will still travel to Baltimore and support the tournament. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. That's still 2 years away. We got this year's tournament and we got next year's tournament. Yeah, so man. We ain't no reason to rush it.
Yeah, don't rush it. Don't really rush it. Let's be positive, Lex. Let's be positive. But, hey, Lex, thanks for being on as usual, man. Hope to have you on next week, my man.
Hey, man, go Patriots. Talk to you later.
All right, talk to you later. Again, that's my man, Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network. Go Patriots? No, Lex, not go Patriots. Let's go Chiefs. Go Chiefs and go Rams. All right, it's time for That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. See you after the break.
I done did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Fuck the system, I'm that bend the law, cut the rules. I'm about to risk it all, I ain't got too much to lose. Y'all been eating long enough, it's my turn to cut the food. Pass the plate with my drink, this my day. Lucky you, fuck you too.
You're listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. I'm Wally. Will T stepped out, so I'm going to hold down this segment. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Search All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Also, do the same for us on Google Play. It's time for That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. Anytime you feel like ranting about the Skins or you have a question, call us and leave a voice message. Here's the number. It's 301-799-5407. You can also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene or hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. We'll play your message on our show. The first message is from my man, George. It seems that he's lost hope in the front office.
Hello, All Skins Everything. This is George calling in to answer your question about what the Redskins can be doing to be contenders in 2019. Nothing. Nothing, because if they wanted to have a good season next year, we would have seen the ouster of Bruce Allen, Jay Gruden, and most, if not this entire coaching staff. That is not happening. Bruce is staying. Jay is staying. Heck, even as of this phone call, Greg Minuski is staying. So now, our hope, or my hope, is in that this crew of incompetents will get what they deserve. And what they deserve is for the bottom to fall completely out. For this team to be as miserable and awful as possible. Because that is what they deserve. We don't deserve it as Redskins fans, but we don't get a say in the matter. What they deserve is one of the worst seasons in Redskins history. And what we need is one of the worst seasons in Redskins history. Because I am starting up the bandwagon, and I think I started it because I know I'm pretty sure I'm the first person to hashtag it on Twitter. Hashtag tanking for Tua. Yes, there is but one hope to save this franchise, and that is a terrible season, followed by what would surely be the dismissal of Allen, Gruden, Minuski, etc. And then we can draft number one in the draft, the quarterback from the University of Alabama, Tua Tagovailoa, who could be the Moses that leads us out of the desert and back to the promised land of being a contender in the NFL. So that's my hope. That's the thing I'm clinging on to. We ain't got a hope in heck in 2019, and nor should we anyway, because we've been badly run, badly mismanaged, and we pretty much deserve everything we get because of the incompetence running this damn NFL team. So my hope is all invested in losing, tanking for Tua, because if he can't fix it and a new regime can't fix it, then it can't be fixed. Thanks, All Skins Everything. Love the show as always.
All right, man. George, man, you went in, bruh. Like, tanking for Tua, George? I love Tua. Man, you know who I like more, though? That Lawrence kid from Clemson, though? I would tank for him in 2 years, though. Like, I wouldn't even just tank for Tua. I wouldn't tank for Tua. I would get another draft pick and get somebody else, and I would tank for Lawrence. That boy Lawrence is official. He has the moxie of a true NFL stud. Yeah, man, I'm with you. This team bringing back Minuski, if this is true, isn't the way to go. And it's like, all right, front office, you got to step up. I mentioned it before in the prior segment. I think a lot of people talk about, Sean McVay and how great he is, but people forget that Rams organization does whatever it takes for Sean McVay to win. I don't think this organization does whatever it takes for us as Skins fans to get a winner. They don't do that. So hopefully things change. And if Tua's going to be Moses, hey man, lead us to the promised land, my man. All right, on our Facebook page, we have a couple of comments and about turning this whole thing around. Chris Carter said, train harder, practice harder, communicate with each other, stay focused, zone out, and go deeper than football. Just find a way. Chris, that's deep, man. If the team does that, I hope that turns into a W. Malik Amin Weeks made a hashtag, hurry for Murray. I said this before in the segment with Lex, that Murray isn't a good fit to me because of Jay Gruden. Now, we bring in another innovative offensive mind, I would go with that. Coach Curls said pray. Yeah, to turn this thing around. Yeah, we do need to pray. Hey, you know what? You need to pray a lot in life. Not just for the Skins, but just in life. Sex Travel Sports Podcast. That's my homie, Cornelius. That's his podcast. Make sure you check it out. It's Sex Travel Sports Podcast. Search it. My man Cornelius doing big things, man. Check him out. He stated fire Gruden after they fired Bruce Allen. Of course, everybody wants Bruce Allen gone. Bruce Allen, I believe, man, is one of the main reasons why this organization hasn't taken off. I'm just hoping that despite Bruce Allen, this organization can win and win big. I'm hoping for it. Hey, it's about time to wrap this show up. But before we wrap this show up, I didn't mention it beforehand, but you know, we took a break, not just because of the new year, but also my father passed on New Year's Day, and that hurt me. I'm still just getting over it. I'm never gonna get over it, but I'm starting to get to being myself a little bit. A piece of me has already left. He was my heart. He was a guy that he instilled confidence in me. He told me nobody was better than me. Like, that's how he thought, like, nobody's better than you. And a guy that brought my whole way of debating, like, you know, in terms, even when I was wrong, to debate it anyway. He was the type of guy that was very influential in my life, man. So I miss you, Dad. I love you. Dedicating this show to you. Hopefully I can make you proud in life, man. Because, again, being a foreigner, coming to this country, getting educated, and then getting your kids into college and whatnot, man, you are somebody I will miss forever. I love you and I appreciate you. Anyway, you've been listening to All Skins Everything on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia, for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.